It's just easier that way. Well, y'all have a rude awakening coming for you. A very, very rude awakening. So enjoy your buzz while it lasts, because it is going to be very short-lived. But I'm here to tell you the reason they're doing this, the reason they're normalizing the marijuana, is because biotech wants to completely own the industry, and they are going to own the industry. Follow the money. They're going to take all the weed. They're going to completely synthesize it. Yes, they are. They're going to make synthetic weed. Yes, they are. They're going to completely remove all of the natural weed from every single component of society. And don't sit there saying, well, I'm going to just grow my own at home. No, you aren't. I promise you, you will not be doing that. They will release toxins into the air that will all but kill off every single strand of natural marijuana. I'll bet you any amount of money on it. They're synthesizing and virtualizing absolutely everything. What makes you think that these power mad psychopaths who are virtualizing absolutely everything in the real world and turning it virtual and synthetic are going to spare marijuana and allow the natural flower and natural healing remedies and natural this, that, and the other to continue to exist? Of course they're not. Here is the most likely strategy with cannabis. I believe they're going to normalize it. They're going to allow it in every single state. The states won't be able to do anything to stop it. Big Pharma is going to jump in with all their money and with all their marketing power and with all their relationships with government and all these other corporations. They're going to step in. They're going to pharmacize it. It's going to start popping up everywhere. The mega corporations are going to get the total market on marijuana. They're going to own it. They're going to run all the mom and pops out of business, all the dispensaries. What, you think your small business marijuana is going to continue to exist while they're getting rid of all the other small businesses? They're getting rid of retail. They're getting rid of restaurants. Every single mom and pop business, they're virtualizing and commodifying and turning it into a massive wealth making machine. You think they're going to spare your little dispensary or your little pot delivery business? That's all going up in smoke too, bro. It's all going away. Those of you who are cheering on the federal government's normalization of marijuana, I need to remind you today that your federal government answers to big business. Yes, to big mega corporation biotech. They answer to them. They actually are in your government. They're actually running your government now. Your government is made up of these very people. They're coming for your small business too. Etsy and eBay ain't the only small businesses that they're running out of town. They're running yours out too. Every single one's going to be run out of town. Biotech and big business is going to take total, and I mean complete, control of the marijuana industry, like they've taken control of every single industry. And once they've got it by the balls, once they totally own the industry, they'll reclassify it again. How much do you want to bet? Does anybody want to bet me? Bet me they'll reclassify it again. Sorry, got to go back to schedule one. Why? Because it's out of control, and we want to make sure that we have, wait for it, here it comes, the gold standard of marijuana. The gold standard of marijuana. Only we can do the proper gold standard science, quality control on the marijuana. We've got to run everything by the FDA now, because we've got the gold standard of science, and now AI is running HHS and FDA and CDC, and we run everything now. So we need to make sure y'all are getting the most perfect and pure marijuana product. It's got to go through the FDA. And at that point, all the small businesses completely collapse. They totally crash out. All of them are taken out of the picture. And in tandem with this, these biotech lords and their chemtrails and everything else release something into the environment that kills off every single natural marijuana plant. Yes, you heard the prophecy here. Someday you're going to look back on this and go, holy shit, he saw all this coming. I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet. I'm connecting the dots for you. I'm showing you the pattern in all the other industries. I'm not special. I'm just a detective who is really good at pattern matching. So I'm telling you, here's the pattern. Let's just look at retail, if you're still struggling with this. See how they're getting rid of all the retail stores? They're getting rid of all the mom and pops. They're virtualizing it. They're all bringing it online, and only the mega corporations can have retail now. And you know that's happening. I'm telling you, they're going to do the same thing with marijuana, the same exact thing. They're going to run every small business out of town. They're going to reclassify it as Schedule One. They're going to say the only people that can do it from now on are going through the FDA, and that will eliminate 95% of them, because that's what these people do. They eliminate competition. They do not want your dispensary in business. They do not want your small business in business. They don't want you making any money off any industry whatsoever. They're going to devour every single industry. You should not be applauding this. You should be telling them to stop. If you like marijuana, I personally don't like marijuana. I don't think that people should be doing it at all. I think it makes them dumb. I think it dulls their moral conscience. I think that it separates them from the mind of God. They can't hear it clearly because their thoughts are all distorted. I think it makes them double-minded. I think it makes them bipolar. I think it makes them really moody. I think it makes them very hard to get along with in families and relationships, especially marriage and friendships, because they're so moody and they're so up and down. I don't think that pleases the Lord at all. I personally want to be level every day for my friends and family. As I've said to you many times before, as somebody who loves his friends and family, I always want to be sober enough that I could jump in a car and run to the rescue of any of my friends and family who need me. I never want to be in a situation where somebody calls me and says, Mark, I need your help right now. And I say, sorry, dude, I'm just too drunk, man. I can't drive. I never, ever, 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 ever want to be that guy. I always want to be the guy that says, I'm on it and I'm coming right now. I think that's how friends treat friends. If you're doing anything that would prevent you from helping your friends and family at any given time, or being sober enough to be alert and reactive at any given time to any situation, especially if you have children in your home, especially if you have people who are under your care, if you have a wife, if you have siblings, if you have little brothers and sisters, if you have elderly folks in your home that might need you, you, man, have been called to take care of these folks. You have been called to be their caretaker. If your mind is effed up, if you are drunk, if you are stoned and you can't care for these people, the Lord calls you worse than an infidel. He says those who will not provide for their loved ones are worse than infidels. I personally don't want to be worse than an infidel. I want to answer the call that God has given me as caretaker, because with watchman also comes caretaker. And I pride myself on being a caretaker for my loved ones, because that's what I believe the Lord means when he says love. And I believe that's what Jesus stood for. I think that's who Jesus was. He was a caretaker. I have a great friend who told me today on Facebook, Mark, I'm a foot washer. And I said, praise the Lord, a real Jesus follower. She said, I'm a foot washer. And I don't know who said that. It could have been Sylvia, Sophia, whoever told me that I'm a foot washer. God bless you. I love you. I'm so thankful for you. You are walking in the footsteps of Christ. We have all been called to be feet washers, my friend. All of us have been called to this glorious job of love to serve others. How are you going to do that when you're stoned out of your mind or drunk? You can't do it, y'all. So for those of you who are trying to figure out, how can I please the Lord? How can I walk in the footsteps of Jesus? You do that by living like Jesus did. And I'll leave it at that. I know that's a long bit about cannabis, but I needed to say it because there's so many moving parts about this and there's so many aspects of it that they won't tell you. For those of you who have anxiety, you're treating PTSD, I'm here to tell you there are other ways. There are other ways. Hit me up anytime. I'll be happy to tell you how I overcame my own PTSD, how I overcame my own severe anxiety, how I overcame my social anxiety, how I became this speaker that you hear every day, how I became an extrovert. I will teach you how I did all of it, and I did all of it without drugs and without alcohol. I did it just with this book of truth and through the prayer life and through fellowship with people that I aspired to be like. And it's possible for you too. You just got to stop listening to the voices of this world, my friends. You have got to stop listening to them. They are leading you into darkness. God's way is the right way, and God's way is the way of sobriety. And I don't care what anybody says about it. So that's that. The summary is, what's driving these booms? Across the U.S. economy, growth is largely tied to technology and automation, AI, cybersecurity, and financial tech, none of which is creating any jobs. It's actually getting rid of all the jobs. So if we were to just summarize this, what industries are booming under Trump? job replacement technology industries are booming. And not only is he not doing anything to stop it, he's not even doing anything to slow it down. He's not even trying to contain it. He's not holding companies responsible whatsoever for being ethical and humane and treating humans with dignity and respect. Not whatsoever. He is balls out, balls to the wall, tear down all the consumer protections, let these predator corporations do whatever they want. They are having a field day under him. That's what's happening. Technology and automation, AI, cybersecurity, financial tech, sustainability, and climate action, still massive industries under him. Clean energy, green construction, healthcare innovation, that sick care innovation and services, because our people are so sick. Digital consumer behavior shifts, e-commerce, experiential travel and tourism, regulatory changes, cannabis legalization, support for renewables, all that junk, all happening, junk science, biotech, all the things that are devouring the jobs and making our people sicker are booming under him. They're absolutely booming. They're blowing up under him. All of them are. I just read you a list of all the industries that are getting rid of the jobs and making people sicker. They're all the top 12 industries that are kicking ass under Trump. None of them are for you. None of them create jobs. None of them are good for your communities. Not a single one of the 12. We are zero for 12. Now, here's the even worse news. The busting industries, the industries that are going bust under Trump. I'll get through these a lot quicker. It's very sad. This is another lament. It's almost like a eulogy. I take no pleasure in telling you these things today, but I'm giving you the truth that your government won't give you. I'm giving you the truth that the mainstream media won't give you. I'm giving you the truth that your influencers won't give you and your social viral personalities won't give you. Many of them don't know it. They don't understand it. Many of them simply don't care. They're just apathetic people and they don't care who burns, who gets destroyed, as long as they're having their fun. Well, their days of fun are very numbered also, my friends. Number one industry dying under this administration is manufacturing. I'm going to just go down through the list because we talked about all of them earlier. And I know people, they know what I'm talking about when I say these things. Traditional retail, brick and mortar stores, banks, everything that's traditional, everything that's in your communities, your department stores, your electronic stores, your clothing stores, all these places that have traditionally created all the jobs in our community and all the support industries, the delivery services, the as I've talked about before, the customer service call centers, all of that stuff is all going away. All the jobs in the community are going away unless they're labor jobs, unless they're specialized jobs like plumbing and electricians, unless they're caretaker type jobs. But all those other jobs that have held up the lower class, especially the lower class, forever are all going away. You have to ask yourself, where are these tens of millions of lower class workers going to work? What are they going to do and what are they going to do with them? Sadly, I hate to be the bearer of bad news again, but I'm just bearing reality to you. They're going to depopulate them. Initially, they're going to put him in all these commercial real estate, abandoned commercial real estate buildings, but then they're going to depopulate them. They got to get rid of them. Why? There's no money for them. They can't sustain them, and they know they can't sustain them. And I think behind the scenes, they've already decided that there is an acceptable mortality rate. If you've ever heard corporatists use that word before, those of you who know me have heard me use it a lot, AMR, acceptable mortality rate. How many people are we willing to kill and die? And allow to die for this. Like Operation Warp Speed, they knew millions would die. They did it anyway. Just like they develop cars, they know that gas tanks are going to explode and a certain number of people are going to die. And they go, we'll just deal with the lawsuits later. There's an acceptable mortality rate for this AI takeover that's happening. And I'm telling you, the number is sadly in the tens of millions. And they've already accepted it. And they're just going to let them die. Why? Because they don't care about them. Because they consider them useless eaters. They hate them. They see humanity. You want to talk about crazy. They see humanity. People who don't have big followings, people who aren't popular, people who aren't celebrities, people who don't have big businesses and are helping them get rich. They see their humankind neighbor as an obstacle to their power goals and their money goals. They see them as obstacles. They see them as disposable meat bags. They have absolutely no heart for them whatsoever. That's why they call their countries shitholes. That's why they call them POS. That's why they call them garbage, because they don't care about them at all. They see them as totally expendable. So sadly, they don't care if they replace all their jobs, because they don't go to those restaurants. They don't go to those retail stores. They're not in your community. They're not being a good neighbor in your community. Not, most of them have never even been good neighbors. They've never even been in lines of work where they're serving their communities. They're all just, they're the actual useless eaters. Isn't that a crazy irony of all this? That they're the useless eaters. They're the ones that aren't contributing anything to society but technologies that are destroying us and chemical toxins that are destroying us. That's all they're doing. They're the useless eaters. That's the crazy irony of all this. The people who want to serve their neighbors and wash their neighbors' feet and be waiters and waitresses and cooks and chefs and retail salespeople and interior decorators, all those people who just want to serve their fellow mankind. I loved being in customer service. My mama loved customer service. We were a huge customer service family. My corporate career started in a call center. I love customer service, man. I've always loved helping people. That's just my jam. There will be no more customer service. It's all going away. They don't care about customer service. You know, you've watched customer service die in your lifetime. Many of you that are older, you saw the golden age of customer service where people loved you. You'd go to places, they just doted on you. They helped you. They follow you around the store. Is there anything I can do for you today? Is there anything I can help you find? I am right here at your service if you should need me. Some of us used to get annoyed with those people. Now we miss them, don't we? Now, don't we miss them? Don't we miss that level of customer care in our lives? Because it's gone. You're lucky if employee even acknowledges you. But where's this coming from, leadership? It's coming from their corporate CEOs. It's coming from their executives. They're the ones that don't care. The billionaires don't care about anybody. And their attitude towards humanity trickles down to their employees. I'm telling you, when you go into business and they treat you like shit, it's their boss. It's the business owner who's treating them like shit. Don't even support those businesses. They are being led by people who are heartless. People who have hearts, people who love others, they are so kind to people who come in their establishments. They're so kind. I was very blessed to be raised by people who loved serving their community. So I broke my teeth working in a customer care center for a cellular carrier. This was the most caring organization. They genuinely cared about their customers. I can tell you firsthand, because I was there. I lived it. The amount of grace they extended to customers was insane. Do you know it reached a point, just to give you a little anecdote here, and I know some of you have been in the same shoes, so I know that I'm preaching to the choir on a lot of this stuff to the older generation, but there was a time when they would tell us, basically just give the customer what they want. So like if they called in and they were like, my bill's too high, they were like, cut it down for them. Give them 20% off. They did that. They would have a problem with their phone. They'd say, you know what? If they're a loyal customer. Oh, yeah, they used to have this thing called loyalty. I know. I sound like an old dinosaur now. They used to have this thing called loyalty. Our company, AirTouch, they said, if it's a loyal customer and they've been with us a couple years, if they don't like their phone, just give them a new phone. Just give them whatever they want. I kid you not. I worked there. I was part of this. I loved it, man. We spoiled everybody. These customers call in. This company shared its profits with its employees. You should have seen the stock options we got. Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah, peons, peasants working in a call center with no degree. You should have seen my stock options, bro. They were awesome. They were sharing their profit with all their peasants and peons. They were giving us money. They were catering. We had so many catering. We had pizza. We had chicken. We had tacos. We had all these small businesses come in and catering our call center constantly. It was a startup. It was so exciting. Everybody was profiting from the lowest in the corporation to the highest. They had this massive profit sharing plan. It was amazing. And they shared the money with the customers. They, at the end of the year, they would even give customers a rebate. Oh my God. Why? To share the profit with them. The golden age is over with. We don't live in that America anymore, but don't try to tell me that America never existed, because I lived it and I saw it. And I don't know what y'all were doing throughout the 90s, but I was absolutely in the middle of a very different corporate and business world that extended grace and mercy to its customers and were very, very generous. And all of that is totally over with. And don't tell me it's because they don't have money, because, oh, they got money. They got more money now than they did then. Do you see the oil company sharing anything with you? Do you see them extending grace to you? Do you see what they did all year? They had the lowest crude oil prices they've had in God knows how long. We're talking about oil here in a minute, and then we're going to wrap this up, because I have a Taco Tuesday date with my better half in about, an hour and a half. I'm going to wrap this up soon, but did you know crude oil prices were at an all-time low throughout this entire year, and they didn't bring the gas prices down until 3 days before his affordability press conference? Oh man, what a scam. Oil companies don't love you. Have you ever watched Landman? Highly recommended. There is some vulgarity in it, unfortunately. You know how Hollywood is. But the stories behind it and to get to see behind the scenes of the oil industry, oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. We just, you know, we got the mute button. We got the little fast forward button. We have to be selective about what we watch because we just don't want that crap in our heads, the vulgarity and stuff. But, you know, that is the American way, though. I mean, it is the society we live in. And so, you know, we do our best. But, boy, I'll tell you, boy, talk about a cutthroat industry, man. Those are the very last people you would ever want to be in control of your government. And yet, here we are. They're absolutely in control of your government. Go listen to the talks on there, especially about the snakes and how the snakes are one of the only creatures that eat their own. There's some very, very insightful wisdom about what is happening in corporate America, especially in the companies that are the most profitable, and how they don't give a damn about anyone other than themselves, and they now run your government. Consumer technology, boop, way down on this under this administration. In fact, consumer technology companies are dying on the vine. They're all dying. The analytics companies are dying. I told you the story the other day of the analytics, Clearwater Analytics in Boise, based out of Boise, Idaho, that provides market intelligence for peasants and peons like me and you and small businesses, now being devoured by a private equity firm for an ungodly amount of money. And it's being led by Signapore. Yes, a Signapore-driven private equity firm is buying a small business that was founded in Boise by two brothers and became very profitable, has a massive employee population. Now this private equity firm will do what they always do to companies that they acquire. They will gut it. They will gut all the assets. They will completely hollow it out. They will fire all the employees. They will automate everything they can, and then they will sell it for as much money as they possibly can, because that is what they do. They don't care how many jobs it costs. They don't care what it does to the community. They couldn't care less. None of these sharks could care less. And I'm here to tell you, there was a time when our government kept these sharks and these vipers in check, and they ain't checking them anymore. They ain't checking them anymore. And anybody who tells you they are is lying to you. They're lying. Consumer technology, bloop. Consumer electronics, bloop. It's all going away. Even home computing is going away. What? I had the most amazing conversation with a gentleman who works at Micron, Boise, Idaho, at a Christmas party recently. I'm coming to you right from the trenches of receipts right now. We talked about Micron. He's been there 21 years. I said, tell me about the trends. Tell me about what's going on. I asked him all these questions. He goes, man, you sound like you're a journalist. I said, I am. He said, oh, wow. I told him about my channel and stuff. He said he's going to start following it, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I'm asking him all these questions, and he gave me a very insightful thing. He said, because let me back up and tell you about a massive breaking news item that you may not have heard about. And that is that Micron is completely closing its home computing memory product called Crucial Memory. If any of you have built a computer before, I've built hundreds of computers in my life, networks, all that stuff. You know that the memory chips, you've probably bought Crucial because it's been inexpensive, very powerful, American made, some of it imported, but American company. Micron is an American company, also founded by two brothers. It's an absolute miracle that it is still owned by those two brothers. However, it is rapidly changing now, and they recently announced, again, based in Boise, Idaho, Micron is one of the biggest employers, and I mean biggest employers, in the entire Treasure Valley of Idaho where I live, and they closed their Crucial Memory branch. Why? Because home computing is going away, and there's another reason. Because all of the semiconductor chips are going towards the AI data centers. All the tech bros and all their investors and the government is taking all the consumer technologies and all the consumer memory products and all the consumer computing products that we've enjoyed for so many years that have empowered our businesses and everything else, given us dominion over our own businesses so we don't have to be codependent on some software being run by some behemoth organization like Intuit. Yeah, all of that technology, all the hardware, all the consumer technology is going away because they don't want us to have our own small businesses anymore. They don't want us to have dominion. They don't want us to have computers anymore. Y'all got to stop and think about what I'm telling you right now. They're not telling you about this. Home computing is going away. Right now, you have the ability to crunch numbers on your computers and actually make a lot of stuff, and do your 3D printing, all that other stuff you can do at home with a lot of computing power. I myself use my Apple Mac Studio, which is a very powerful box, which it's a marvel. It's a marvel. I mean, let's face it, Apple makes marvelous consumer technology. Anybody who would tell you different has not used it to its ability. Apple has just been a remarkable American company that has made it just awesome products. I can't even tell you how much I love my Mac Studio. It is awesome. All of that's going away. They don't want anyone making music at home anymore. They don't want anyone making movies anymore. They don't want people doing programming anymore. They don't want people doing computer programming. They don't want them building apps. They're taking away all of the technology. So when I tell you that number three industry that is busting under this administration is technology, I'm talking about all of these consumer technologies that you and I have been able to enjoy in our houses for long. It's all going away in the very, very near future. Here's what this means to you. If you are one of those type of people who loves their home computer, still loves it, loves the independence of having your own home computer, I myself think it was a miracle that we were ever able to have home computing in the first place. The next time it breaks in the very near future, it will cost so much to fix it that you won't be able to afford it. And I'm 100% certain that's what's going to happen, the same way that it's happening with home repair. It's going to become so cost prohibitive that you're not going to be able to own a home even if you want to, because they're going to be too expensive to fix. Your HVAC's going to go out. Your water heater's going to go out. They're going to be like $25,000, man. You're going to have to take a second out on your home to replace your hot water heater. Absolutely. I mean, that is absolutely what's coming. And it's coming rapidly because the billionaires have decided those with nothing have too much. So for those of you who have been celebrating that they're cutting off the SNAP benefits and they're not going to let people buy Gatorade with their SNAP benefits anymore, shame on you. Shame on you, seriously. These people already have nothing. Oh, I know. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go get a job. Where? Where do you want them to go work? Oh, they'll figure it out, will they? You sure about that? You sure this is the same America you grew up in? Because I'm here to tell you it ain't. It's a very different America. It's a very different America. There's a day coming soon where you are going to demand, people in their right mind are going to demand that their government take care of all the people whose jobs they've helped displace. They're going to be demanding it. They're going to say, I've been paying into my Social Security. Y'all owe me money. And your government's going to say, get out of my face. None of your business. I'm the captain now. This is our government now. Big Tech owns your government. Big biz. How is everybody okay with this? I don't understand it. I am so stunned and astonished that my fellow Americans are okay with this takeover of their government and everything they hold dear. Every day I'm like, what in God's name is happening? But then I open up my book and then I hear the voice of truth again saying, due to the increase in wickedness, the hearts of most will wax cold. And then I go, oh yeah, that's what's happening. Kind of like the Doobie Brothers sometime. I keep forgetting things will never be the same again. I keep forgetting. Yeah, I do. I do keep forgetting. I admit it. I do keep forgetting. But yeah, you ain't gonna make music in your house anymore. No more home computers. No, no, you're not doing anything at home anymore. You will have what's called a dummy terminal that you might, they'll still let you have the monitor, maybe, but you'll be hooked into a dummy terminal data center run by your government that you will need government access to get into. Oh yeah, that's coming very soon. You're not gonna be able to access the internet and social media without going through the government portal. No, 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 no. You don't get that freedom anymore. All that's getting taken away. When I tell you that they're digitizing everything, they're digitizing your identity too. They're going to digitize absolutely everything. You think Real ID is bad? By the way, for those of you who think this administration is so patriotic and they love freedom so much and they love independence and human autonomy and sovereignty so much, why are they pushing Real ID? Why didn't they cancel Real ID? Because y'all know damn well if I was the president, I would have canceled it. You know I would have canceled it. You know, those of you who know me know if I got in that White House, I'd be canceling all this crap. I would be demanding that corporations stop replacing jobs. I would be demanding they pay reparations for every single job they replace. Oh, it would be, I know they'd get rid of me. I know, believe me. I know, they wouldn't allow me a single day. As I said before, if I was to go around to the universities and teach these young people what I know about technology, like Charlie was, but on 10 times the level, because I have 10 times the knowledge about it, they wouldn't even let me tour two universities. They'd get rid of me after the first one. I know that. I do have a wife and a family that I am caring for here, so I'm trying to do this and at the same time, meet my responsibilities to my family as a provider and a caretaker. So it can be a very precarious balance, as many of you know, but we're doing our best, right? We're doing our best. That's all I got today is my best. So yes, all that technology is going away. Retail and e-commerce, we've talked about this. Retail forces, especially traditional chains, corporate roles saw massive, large job reductions. Warehouse work is going away. Distribution roles are going away. Driving jobs are going away. It's all going away as they automate and roboticize and AIify absolutely everything. That's the goal, is depopulation, my friends. It's depopulation of power. It's depopulation of freedom. It's depopulation of dignity. It's depopulation of physical bodies. It is depopulation of every single voice of dissent. It's depopulation of free speech. It's depopulation of freedom of protest. It's depopulation of freedom of thought. They are going to depopulate absolutely everything good in this society. And thank God they are all going to hell for it. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Don't think I don't know the truth. What, you think people who lie in wait to exploit the poor are going to heaven? Well, maybe if they repent, but doesn't look like they're going to repent. And by the way, for those people who always say, oh, you think you're perfect. You think you're perfect. No, I don't think I'm perfect at all. I follow a perfect savior. I'm repentant. That's the difference. I, yes, am a sinner saved by grace, and yes, I fall short of the glory of God. Of course I do. Y'all hear it in every broadcast, I fall short. The difference is I'm not lying in wait for my neighbor, okay? I'm not stealing their jobs. I'm not stealing their money. I'm not running Ponzi schemes on them. I'm not running cybercrime schemes on them. I'm not exploiting the poor. I'm not lying to the people. I am not continuing on in the practice of sin. I have done what God has asked me to do, and I have turned from my iniquity. My iniquity having been very, very great in me at one time, I answered the call of God, and I accepted his invitation to exercise the gift of repentance and turn from my evil ways and follow the righteous way of Christ. I exercised that power that the Lord has given me, and I now live as a repentant man who does not practice the way of sin. And God offers this way of life to anybody who will simply turn from their sin and turn from their iniquity and their transgressions and ask the Lord for forgiveness and humble themselves and follow the truth and obey the truth. I'm not saying you'll do it perfectly, because I know I don't, but I'm saying you'll do it. And all these forces of the world who are coming on here telling us that we're self-righteous and we're legalistic and all this other BS. Oh, I know all the theological arguments. I just don't get into them because it's a complete waste of time with these zombies. But they want us to think that we can't turn from our sin, that everybody's corrupt, that sin is just inevitable, that everybody's going to lie, everybody's going to steal from their neighbor because they're still doing it. So they're okay if their government does it. As long as their government comes in under their own red flag identity, they're cool with it. But the bottom line is they're cool with stealing. They told you they weren't cool with stealing when the blue team was in power, but now they're cool with stealing that the red team is in power. And the reason why is they're cool with stealing internally because they're still stealing themselves because they have refused God's invitation to be sanctified by the truth. They have rejected his invitation. So if I'm boasting at all today, let me boast in the righteousness of God Almighty that is fully imprinted in his son, Jesus Christ, that is imputed into us if we should repent and follow him. That's the truth I'm bringing you today. Not a perfect man, not even close, not even calling anybody to works of perfection or salvation-based work, all that, none of that stuff. I'm saying that there's a difference between people who are still practicing sin and making sin their lifestyle and people who have turned from sin and are now practicing the commands of Christ. There is a huge difference, and yes, you will know them by their fruits, and their fruits are that they have turned from all their evil ways of life. And I'm telling you, you can't look at this administration or the previous one and say these people have turned from their iniquity. Absolutely 100% no way. They're still mired in all of it. They're still drowning in their own quicksand. They've built walls and prisons around themselves, and they are not allowing God in, because if they were, they'd be humbling themselves. So, a little biblical message for you today. I always want to make sure that I infuse every single talk with that biblical truth, because at the end of the day, my friends, that is the most important biblical truth of all. And that is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the remission of your sins so you will enjoy times of refreshing from the Lord, so you will be recipient of regeneration, that the Lord will make you holy like he is holy, that you will walk in the ways of his righteousness. You will delight in his house for all the days of your life, and you will be in awe of the beauty of the Lord, and you will every day be in awe of his righteousness. Yes, you're invited. I hope you accept the invitation. I really do. I pray you do, because the majority of your fellow mankind has decided that they're not gonna. Number five, hospitality and tourism, also just absolutely diving. Automotive industry diving, because we're getting the automated cars, we're getting all that stuff. People can't afford the car payments anymore. The cars are too expensive. Now Trump is what? He's offering 50-year mortgages, and now he wants to bring these little tiny cars they got in Japan or China or one of them here, because he's going to be the president of prosperity, give everybody a little tiny matchbox car to drive around in before all the cars are automated. How generous, right? But no, there will be no Lexus for you. All those companies are going out of business, by the way. The only ones that are going to survive are the ones who make automated vehicles for robots to drive. They're the only ones that are going to survive with this complete tech takeover. Seven, apparel, textile manufacturing, clothing production, all shrinking drastically structurally. They're all disappearing. Coal energy, traditional coal energy, completely disappearing. There's nothing they can do to resurrect it. They don't want to resurrect it. It is not profitable enough for them. It's too hard to get the coal out of the ground. Traditional media and entertainment jobs all going away. We've seen massive job losses in media, entertainment, traditional content production driven by consolidation, merger, acquisition, automation, and declining ad revenues. There's no more money in marketing. That's why you have to watch stupid pharmaceutical commercials if you watch a movie on the streaming services. How to read this? These declines aren't all of a sudden crashes. They are structural. They're cyclical. They're all happening because of AI. And there are many, 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 many layoffs coming in 2026. If you think 2025 was bad, wait till you see 2026. And at the same hand, I am not here to be the bearer of bad news. I'm here to inform you and to keep you apprised of what's really happening, because your government refuses to. Your media refuses to. Your influencers refuse to. They will not tell you what is exactly happening. If they do tell you, they're so disjointed and they're so broken, they have no way to tie it back to the Bible. They can't connect the dots whatsoever between what's happening in reality and what's happening in the headlines. And this is why so many people are confused. And my prayer today is that there would be more people like me that we're out here telling people the rest of the story, because there's not enough of us, and I wish there were thousands. I mean, really, that's my prayer today, that there'd be thousands of people like me that would be online informing their neighbor about what's really happening, because we can't have enough people telling the truth. So the big takeaway, as I said earlier today, is that you're witnessing the big takeaway. The absolute complete replacement of reality with virtual reality, and the virtualization of absolutely everything except the data centers and the power centers they need to power all the virtual technology. A young friend of mine said something awesome today that I thought I would share with you. After the broadcast this morning, I had the blessing to talk to him, and he is a devout follower of Christ, and he just loves God. And we were talking about AI and how AI has taken everything over. And he said something profound. He said, we were talking about Christian counselors, and we're talking about the importance of being in a multitude of wise counselors in this life, as the Lord has called us to be in a multitude of counselors. He says, in a multitude of wise counselors, there is safety. And we were talking about that very thing. And he said, how tragic is it that now people are turning to AI? They're literally turning to a robot for counseling. And it is so true. I mean, you want to talk about the technology, as I've said many times, great reference tool, great research tool, counselor, therapist. Ugh. Well, this is what they want, though. They want everybody talking to robots because they don't want us talking to each other anymore. You are watching The Great Replacement. But as I've said many times, it's not the one Tucker Carlson told you about. It's not the replacement of the white people with the brown people. That's not The Great Replacement. It is maybe a sort of replacement in some ways, but not what he trumped it up to be. The Great Replacement is the replacement of mankind with machine. That is the Great Replacement you are witnessing. And the profiteers who are making ungodly amounts of money from replacing humankind and human traditions and human social constructs with virtualization, whose goal is to have everybody with a pair of AI goggles on, soon to be followed by an AI chip installed into their brain, which we know as the human-computer brain interface, which we know will be what is called the singularity, that will lead to the mark that we read about in the Bible. So that's the direction it's all going right now. And I think that though the top 12 booming and the bottom 10 busting list that I just gave you proves everything I'm saying. Every single job that's booming and every single job that's busting is proof that this is a great replacement. It is a, as I said in my book, a total tech takeover. If you haven't read my book, please do. It's on Amazon, Mark J. And every single statistic proves that this is indeed happening. And it is happening at warp speed. So one last thing I wanted to go over while I have you here, as we're talking about the booming industries and the busting industries, I want to remind you today, I'm going to close on this note. And then I saw a message that came through on my phone that said, please play your song, Don't Give It Away, at the end of the broadcast. So I'm going to play my song, Don't Give It Away, Your Freedom, after this broadcast. But I want to end on this note, and that is that this massive oil takeover, because I know there might be some people sitting there saying, well, then if they're doing this massive takeover like he's saying, then why the heck are they going after all this oil? Because oil, you know, people, when they think of oil, they think of their cars and they think of their freedom and they think of the good old American way and a booming industry that everybody's going to benefit from. And so they can't connect the dots. They're like, well, now he's telling me that everything's getting destroyed, but yet I see my government going after all this oil, and aren't we going to be able to use this for gasoline? And isn't this a good thing? No, that's not what this is about. It turns out, and I have not heard anybody else talking about this at all, I went and did the research myself on this because I felt a spiritual nudge this morning that said, go read more about how they're using oil. Can I save the broadcast? I don't know. Okay. Well, my phone just went dead right in the middle of my broadcast. I should have plugged it in before it went dead. But anyways, I am going to finish the podcast here. And those who didn't catch the end of it can catch it here on the podcast. Let me check in on the time. Oh, well, my time's not lined up. Anyways, let's just get back at it. Oil, the reason they're going after oil and the reason they're so focused on oil is because of the AI data center boom. It's not for more vehicles. It's not for your freedom or anything like that. They're doing it because the AI infrastructure absolutely demands oil. It is a oil consuming beast. And I want to explain to you briefly how it is. Number one, AI data centers run on massive oil and gas because AI training and inference require enormous power, and the U.S. electrical grid still rely heavily on oil and natural gas. They actually have oil-fired peaker plants that kick in during high demand, and we are now in the age of high oil demand because of these AI data centers that are popping up every single day, and they need a crap ton of oil to keep the grid from crashing. The more AI grows, the more electricity is consumed, the more oil they're going to need. They can't stand up these nuclear reactor plants as quick as they want. They're turning to all of these fueling energy methods in the meantime. Utilities respond by building more gas generation because it's fast and it's cheap. Oil and gas companies are profiting from the rising demand of AI and AI data centers. Number two, backup power is all diesel. Diesel, of course, relies on oil. Every major data center has diesel backup generators on site, hundreds of them. Hospitals have diesel generators. Hyperscale data centers have fleets of diesel-driven generators because AI workloads can't go down. They need 100% uptime. Training jobs run for weeks or months. We're talking about computer learning, computer training jobs. They run for weeks or months, and they must be on 24/7. So diesel is permitted, easy to store, reliable, fast to spin up, and they need it. Oil companies are supplying all of that for AI data centers. Three, manufacturing data center hardware uses petrochemicals. AI hardware isn't just silicone, it's cables, insulation, server plastics, racks. They all come from petrochemicals. Coolants, especially immersion cooling fluids, are petro-derived. Fiber optic coating uses petrochemical polymers. Transformers and mineral oil are synthetic alternatives. If AI needs more data centers, it needs more oil-based material, period. Four, construction of AI data centers uses oil everywhere. They're building hyperscale site is like building a factory, plus a substation, plus a warehouse, plus a cooling farm. Heavy machinery running on diesel, asphalt, plastics, insulation, roofing, steel production powered by oil. Millions of truck miles transporting equipment. Oil is upstream in every step of the AIB system build out. Oil is upstream in every single step of the build out. Number five, cooling systems can be oil based. AI chips run hot. Cooling is now one of the biggest engineering challenges. AI data centers are using dielectric fluids, synthetic oils used for immersion cooling, heat transfer oils in certain specialized systems. The part of the industry is exploding as GPUs go from 350 watts to 1,000 watts per chip. They need oil to cool it. Number six, oil gas companies are positioning themselves as AI energy partners. Exxon, Chevron, BP, Shell, they're not stupid. They're already signing power deals with AI companies. They're building and buying gas-fired plants near data center zones. They're investing in AI-compatible energy infrastructure. They're selling heat transfer oils and dielectric fluids directly to builders. AI is one of the best things to ever happen to the oil business ever. Number seven, AI itself is helping the oil industry. It's an ironic but real trend. AI is heavily used to optimize oil extraction, refining, and logistics. So more AI, more data centers, more fossil energy, oil, AI, more all efficiency. It's a feedback loop, and it is a never-ending one. They're all feeding each other. All the beasts are feeding each other. The big picture, AI is marketed as the future, but the physical backbone of AI today is diesel, natural gas, petrochemicals, fossil fuel powered grids, and it all comes down to oil. Oil, oil, and more oil they need to build the beast system, my friends. That's why you're seeing the run on oil, and that's why you're going to see more and more and more and more oil demand, oil invasions, and oil takeovers. So that's it for me today. I was going to play my song at the end of this, but I didn't have the bandwidth because my phone died. But I do want to say thanks you for joining. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following the channel on Facebook, which is Bread and Circus page on Facebook. Thanks for following the music channel. Thanks for supporting this ministry of truth and exposition and revealing of dark forces that are doing everything in their power to absolutely devour everything that you hold dear every single day and positioning it as patriotism and religious righteousness. I hope you're not buying their lies, and I hope this has been edifying for you. And God bless you and your family.